Today I'll be preaching in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter 12, as we continue looking at the life of Abraham and this theme selected for this year, Lead Me, Lord. Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to be reading from verse 14 down to verse number 17. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 14. We'll stand as we honor God by the reading of His word. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he-asses and men servants and maid servants and she-asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful privilege that we have been given to gather in your house today, to worship you, seek your face, hear from your word, and to be guided thereby. Dear Lord, we come today a needy people, needing you for one thing or another, but confident on the authority of your word that you are God who is able to meet needs and to answer prayers, to open doors. You have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I pray that as your word goes forth today, that you would use it to bring clarity, to give wisdom and direction, and that our hearts would indeed be receptive to what you have to say to us. We know that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that you would use it in a mighty way to accomplish your will. Give me the words you'll have me to say. Cleanse me of sin and empty me of self. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit, that I may preach what thus saith the Lord. And when it's all said and done, may we be careful to give you all the honor and glory, for you alone are worthy of it. Save some lost soul. Stir the heart of every believer. Thank you once again for this opportunity. Have your divine way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. On October 31st, 1983, Korean Airlines Flight 007, which originated in New York City, stopped in Anchorage, Alaska, to refuel before continuing on to its intended destination, Seoul, Korea. It departed Anchorage at approximately 4 a.m. with 269 passengers. As the flight progressed, the pilots and crew were unaware that the aircraft was slowly but surely straying away from its intended flight plan due to human error in setting the navigation system. Eventually, the plane was flying over Soviet airspace at a time when Cold War tensions were high between the United States and the Soviet Union. Soviet authorities detected the 747 and ordered fighter jets to respond to the suspected threat. Warning shots were fired. At the same time, the pilots of the passenger airline received permission from Tokyo Air Traffic Control to increase their altitude. These maneuvers were seen as evasive by the Russian authorities, and the jet was tragically shot down. All lives on board were sadly lost. It is critical to know where you're going when traveling on the road of life. You see, my friends, if we venture to stray off course and we find ourselves lost, it is also important to know that as well, so that we can make the necessary adjustments to get back on track. This year of 2024, we have been considering the theme of Lead Me, Lord. And this appeal to be led by Almighty God, it indicates and should indicate to us that we have a dependence on Almighty God to lead us. Why? Because we acknowledge that we do not know the way. We've been examining the life of Abraham, who was led by God from his homeland to go into the land of promise, a place we understand to be the land of Canaan. We've observed here in chapter 12, the response to God's call, that in verse number 1, God had called him and said to him, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee." And God promises to bless him. And we understand in verse number 4 that Abraham responded and he departed just as God had spoken. My friend, when God makes a call to us, it's important to respond in obedience. And thank God that Abraham was obedient to the call of God. And so he responded to the call. But in verse number 10 and onwards, which we're in at the present moment, we recognize that Abraham had what I call a rollback of conviction. A rollback of conviction, because somewhere along the way, Abraham made a wrong turn. Now let me indicate to all of us that making a wrong turn does not mean that your journey to destiny has ended. How many know that we are all prone to wrong turns? Anybody here has ever made a wrong turn? I mean, we make wrong turns on the roads and driving our vehicles and going from place to place. But even spiritually speaking, we are prone to wrong turns. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Every single one of us at some point in time has made a wrong turn. But I'm glad for the grace of God that we can get back on track. Amen. But keep in mind that wrong turns lead to undesirable consequences. And we've observed that in this text in which we read and the verses prior, that notice that one of the things that precipitates a wrong turn is serious difficulty. And we notice in verse number 10 that there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there. And we would conclude that this was a sad decision. Abraham went down into Egypt and he left the land of promise. And while there in Egypt, we observed as well previously his subtle deception. In verse number 11 to verse number 13, by way of quick review, we notice that his faith wavered. And he got into Egypt, and as he was come near, he planned along with his wife to engage in some deception. And to say to them that, "Sarah, even though you are my wife, let's portray to them that you are my sister." Now keep in mind, she was his half-sister. But they were leaving out more important information, that she was indeed his wife. We notice that deception oftentimes can be by way of omitting part of the truth. And so this was very subtle in nature, and it indicated that Abraham was wavering in his faith that God would protect him. But I want us to look at our text a little further here this morning, verse number 14 and following, that notice that what took place after his subtle deception was that it brought about what I call sensual desires. Sensual desires. Now observe with me verse number 14 what the Bible says. "And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair." The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. My friend, note that deception leads to inappropriate desires being created in other people. You see why, here's why lying and deception is so dangerous. Because lying and deception create a foundation on which attitudes and actions cannot stand. So in other words, when something is based on deception, when something is based on lies, it is on a sinking foundation. Deception is the foundation, watch this, for everything that is wrong. You say, Pastor, can you make such a bold statement? Think of what took place in the Garden of Eden. Eve was doing perfectly fine once she believed the truth. And Satan stepped in and got her to believe a lie that God has some sinister motives. God has some desires that are not too righteous and not too holy. Eve, God is trying to keep you from being wise. And now Eve is now looking at what is forbidden, lusting after it. Here's what every single one of us must recognize. That we have a responsibility to be a guardian for the truth. Amen? Never allow yourself to be negatively influenced by deception or lies. Why? Every one of us, it would subject us to negative thoughts that will influence us. Lies will cause any one of us to think evil thoughts. Why? Because lies oppose the truth. Anything that opposes truth, my friend, is a platform for evil. And here it is that Sarah, a married woman, and because of Abraham's subtle deception of hiding that she was his wife, now leaves her open to inappropriate desires and advances by other men. Did you see that? Abraham leaves his wife open. These Egyptians are now looking at her that she is very fair. Now, that's okay for her to be very fair, but there's much more in this verse. Much more in this statement. Be careful of letting people believe a lie. You know that often happens? You're speaking to someone and you know that what is being portrayed leaves them believing something that is not true. That's very dangerous. Why? Because deception, as we notice here, caused sensual desires. Notice how these sensual desires led to what I call a sinful disgrace. Look at verse number 15. The princes also of Egypt saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And watch this. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. So I want to promise you, she wasn't taken into Pharaoh's house just for coffee and tea. This was a direct result of the sensual desires that were aroused in the verse prior. And my friend, when sensual desires are aroused, keep in mind that where things start is not where things end. There's a statement that says that sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. This is the child of God, Sarah, ending up compromising and finding herself in the house of the heathen. And to make it worse, and I find this just amazing, that the verse did not say, and it rightly did not say, that Abraham was invited. You see what sin does? It causes compromise to the point of accepting what should be unacceptable. And here's one thing I want us to really get very clearly. The reason why Abraham could not object to the fact that he was not invited to Pharaoh's house was because he had already told them that she was just his sister. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? So no, he can't object. He can't say, well, how come I didn't get an invitation? Why, you said you were just a brother. After all, she's single based on your own words. And this is why when decisions are based on lies, my friend, compromise will happen, because you have to act in a way to cover up the lie that was already told. And so it's always a downward spiral when actions and attitudes are based on deception. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 14, Paul admonishes to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. My friend, truth is a solid foundation on which you can stand. And not only stand, but you can stand strong. Whenever lies are propagated about you, and make sure it is a lie, stand strong and stand bold if you're standing on the truth. Because eventually, my friend, lies will crumble and be exposed. And so we notice and observe here this sinful disgrace. As Abraham is left out of this invitation and his wife finds herself in the house of the heathen. I want you to notice, and I want to spend some time here in verse number 16, in what I observe and I refer to as seeming delights. Because oftentimes this is where we get hooked and trapped and we think everything is going fine. Now keep in mind this sinful disgrace of Sarah being in the house of Pharaoh and Abraham as her husband has no idea what's happening inside there. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. And he, speaking of Pharaoh, entreated Abram, what? Well, for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. What does this say to us? That Abraham, while this sinful disgrace was taking place, he was treated very well. From all appearances, things are going wonderfully well. Here's what we must understand about sin. Satan always brings some benefits. He always brings some benefits to sin. My friend, Satan will make sin feel good. He will make sin look good. He will make sin sound good. He will make sin smell good. He will do everything to make you think all is going good. You think of drugs. Why do people do drugs? The high. Apparently the feeling is one to crave after. Because you feel like you're flying. It's a seeming delight. Alcohol. Apparently there's appeal to being intoxicated. I mean, I've had individuals tell me, man, you've never drunk. Man, you've never been drunk. Man, you're missing out. Seeming delights. Sexual immorality. Man, you're missing out on all the fun. Young people, I can tell you, this is what you will be told. People will laugh you to scorn for making a decision to maintain your purity. I mean, it's a delight, it is said, to live a promiscuous lifestyle and guys for the girls to be rushing you. And a nice feeling for your ego to have the rush, isn't it? I mean, it's nice for the girls to think you're handsome. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. When you're young and you're a teenager and in school, man, it pops up your ego to know that the girls think, man, you are just it. I mean, let's be honest. Isn't that a nice feeling, gentlemen? Girls, isn't it wonderful for the boys to think, man, you are just cute. It's nice to be wanted. It builds up your ego. And especially when you're in these teenage years, I mean, you're young, you want to be accepted. You want to fit in. That's natural. I mean, I was young too. And I know exactly what that is like. Can I share something with you? He used to crush me that I didn't have the rush of the girls. Being honest. You want to experience the delight of being accepted and wanted. And my friend, those are the pleasures that Satan uses to lure us and to pull us in the wrong direction. And here's why Satan is so subtle and devious. Because he often uses our natural desires to pull us in the wrong direction. Here's one of the challenges that happens in our churches. Even as we preach purity, morality, and we preach on the authority of God's word to abstain from sexual promiscuity, here's something that we must understand. That sexual desire is not sin. Sexual desire is a God-given desire that has been given to us. And when it comes to fulfillment of sexual desires, here's what God is saying. It might shock some of you and blow your mind. God is not saying no. God is saying wait. God is the one who has given sexual desires. But he's saying, I want you to have these fulfilled in a union that I've instituted called marriage that will be honorable, that will be fulfilling, that will be in alignment with my design for sexual fulfillment. So God says, I understand. I see you. I know what you're feeling. But I got a great plan for your life. But just wait. Here's what Satan has done. He's convinced many that when you wait on God, you're missing out on all the fun. Satan fails to tell about the guilt. He fails to tell about the feelings that linger of being used and discarded. He fails to tell about the pain that lingers for years and years. He fails to tell about the malicious intent of others who are seeking to fulfill their own desires. He fails to tell that there are times when that trust is placed on individuals who are familiar and friends, and yet they take advantage of unsuspecting victims. You see, my friend, he presents seeming delights. Here's one thing we must understand. Don't ever trust a single thing Satan says. He's a liar and he is the father of it. And understand, when it comes to sin, my friend, Satan will bring the benefits and he would parade them in front of us. Do you know that there is pleasure in sin? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25 says, speaking of Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of what? Sin. But the verse does not end there. It says the pleasures of sin for a season. In other words, there's a point at which the season will end. The pleasures of sin are temporary. And my friend, I'm here to appeal to every man, woman, boy or girl that God has a plan for your life that is so much better than anything that Satan offers. And here's what we ought to understand about Almighty God. That even if any one of us has been tricked by Satan, and God knows, we're talking about this in Sunday school, he has a success rate. Satan doesn't lose every battle when it comes to us. But even if we have been tricked by Satan, God is the God who redeems and restores. God does not cast away. God is a God that simply wants us to be honest. God wants us to be real. My friend, God does not take kindly to hypocrisy. He wants honesty. He wants sincerity. He wants repentance and a genuine desire for him. Don't let Satan convince you that his path is better. Understand that the Bible describes him aptly and appropriately, that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't matter what he parades in front. It doesn't matter how he makes it look. My friend, at the end of the day, the ways of Satan leads to death and destruction. But I'm so grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ has come that we might have life and have it, what? More abundantly. I wish there was a way to expose every lie and every trap of Satan. And as we were discussing in Sunday school this morning, the danger of traps is that they're not seen clearly. As a matter of fact, they're hidden. They're not recognizable. And we must be wise and alert and keen with wisdom from Almighty God to be able to detect the traps and the tricks of Satan. He's a liar. Let's trust Almighty God. Let's seek His face. And where we have failed and where we have gone the wrong way, recognize that God has promised that a broken and a contrite spirit will never be despised by Almighty God. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love. Wrong turns, guaranteed, will have some consequences. But a wrong turn does not define your journey to destiny. The thing is, don't continue wrong turn after wrong turn after wrong turn after wrong turn. God has a way back. It's a path of acknowledgement, a path of repentance, and a decision to stay on the path, living a life of obedience to the Word of God, desiring to be in the will of God. I pray that as we think of this theme, lead me, Lord, that it will saturate every aspect of our minds and our thoughts. Whatever it is that we are doing by way of attitude, actions, behaviors, that it will be guided by the Word of God. And when we follow this God, step by step, day by day, invariably, unquestionably, we will be walking on a path to destiny. Why? Because we've made a decision to say to this God, the God of the universe, who's omniscient, who's omnipresent, who's all-powerful, nothing hidden from His eyes, God, I desire for You, and only You, to lead me.